from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 11th day of December 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's a senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Dan Zwicker's away today. USDA released what most termed a bearish set of numbers for the corn market this morning. In general, the trade thumbed its nose at those figures. We'll ask why. And then later this half hour, we'll discuss what farmers should be doing about input cost. Jim Bauer, Bauer Trading in Lafayette, will help us plumb that subject. Dave Dickey will be here, too, with the agricultural news. He'll tell us about a new federal review that calls into question the efficacy of the nation's meat inspection system. And a couple of dozen farm groups have gotten together to push USDA to announce the final terms of the 2009 farm programs. Dave will have details of all those stories later in the half hour. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the wheat pit finished the December futures at 491 and a quarter, down a penny and a quarter on the afternoon. March at 507 and a half, two lower, and the May at penny and three quarters lower at 520 and three quarters. July wheat 533 and a half today, finished down 1 1/2 cents. A spring wheat finished the nearby contract at 624 and a half, up 6 3/4. December hard red winter wheat gained 5 3/4 cents to settle at 521 and 1/2. From the corn pit in Chicago, an 11 1/4 cent gain in the nearby December to settle at $3.38. March at 351 and a half, up 9 1/2. The May at 362 and 1/2, up 9 3/4. And July corn futures, $3.72 3/4, up 9 3/4. September futures there, 383, up 9 3/4. December at 396 and a half, 9 1/4 higher. December oats up a penny at 196 and a half. Jan soybeans at 856 and a half, up 27 on the day. The March at 860 and a half, up 25 3/4. May at 870, 25 and a half higher. And November beans at 878 and a quarter, up 26 1/4. December mean meal at 260.80, up 10.40. December bean oil at 31.46, up 87 on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby contract at 84.47 and a half, up 50 cents. And December lean hogs at 56.15, down 72 and a half. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil futures at $47.90 a barrel, up $4.38. The February at $50.45, up $4.43 for the day. January ethanol at $1.51.8, up 3 6/10. The Feb at $1.50.5, up 2 1/2 cents for the day. Natural gas trading the January 10 and a tenth lower at $5.85.5. And the RBOB gasoline at 107 6/10, up 10 7/10 for the day. January heating oil, $1.50 1/10, up 9 7/10. And the January propane futures at 59 1/2 cents, just about 7/10 higher on the afternoon. December gold futures at $824.90 an ounce, up $17.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average on the afternoon, currently trading at 86.19, just about 143 points lower for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 83.78 is down 1.67. CRB index at 229.53. It's up 8.16 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. He says tonight in northern and central Illinois and northern and west central Indiana should be mostly cloudy. Light snow showers, flurries arriving overnight. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 10 in northwestern Illinois, says Ed, to 28 in the far south. Tomorrow, northwestern Illinois, partly to mostly sunny. Elsewhere in Illinois and western Indiana, cloudy, scattered light snow showers and flurries early, then becoming partly to mostly sunny. In eastern Indiana, cloudy, scattered snow showers. Highs will range from 18 in the far northern parts of Illinois to 38 in the far south. The extended forecast says strong southerly winds will kick in on Saturday and continue through Sunday, and that should usher in some warmer air. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL AM 580.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon, recapping some of the numbers from the day. This morning, USDA released global carryover and ending stocks for the U.S. Corn futures, are corn ending stocks now for the 08-09 are set at 1.474 billion bushels. That's up from the November projection of 1.124 billion on the carryover. Beans at 205 are the same as the November projection. Wheat carryover at 623 is up from the 603 million bushels that was projected back last month. Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago quickly. Futures in the corn pit were up about a dime for the day. Beans were up 25 to 27 cents. Wheat futures finished about a penny lower on the afternoon for the soft red. Hard red and spring wheat were up around a nickel. Live cattle futures were about 50 higher, and the lean hogs were down just about 70 cents. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at all those numbers and much more is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it didn't look like the trade cared too much about the numbers after the opening bell this morning.
Yeah, not too much at all. Opening calls were much as 10 cents lower in the corn, kind of mixed, a little higher a call in the beans and lower in the wheat. Probably the corn was the most bearish of all. China raised their corn production number up to 160 million metric tons. That's up 4 million metric tons from last month. And, of course, the big shocker or the concern in the U.S. supply-demand balance sheet was the lowering of the ethanol usage sector, which is kind of disturbing, you know, from a long-term point of view, that we're not going to have the big usage of ethanol that we were planning on. But as you mentioned in your opening comment there, world-ending stocks increased. And so fundamentally, it was kind of concerning that corn might not be able to trade higher. But following the outside markets for, say, especially crude oil being higher most of the morning, that spilled over to the grain complex to give us some positive closes here. So the key is try to continue to build on these gains.
Are you feeling that the gains will continue?
I'm sort of watching this 355 level basis, the March corn futures. I know we went above that, but to continue to see this market move higher, we need to move above 355, 360 area on a closing basis. Then we probably got room to run for a while, but 355 was sort of an upside target there. We've been there or got there today. Beans, the March beans here at this 865 area, we got up to 869. So in order to keep moving higher here, we need to get above those levels and stay there. Failure to get above there might suggest some type of correction here as we go into next week.
Would your bias be one direction or the other?
Well, we kind of want to use this rally to get caught up on sales and probably a little defensive. We probably are in the camp that this up move can't be trusted just yet. We feel that there's still problems in the stock side of the equation. A lot of enthusiasm has come on ideas that crude oil is going to march higher here. We're going to see a big cut in production, and that crude oil could pull the rest of the complex up. That might unfold to be true, but we're kind of fearful that being 50 cents off the low in corn and a dollar off the low on beans in just a week might be a little too rich too soon.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Just that it's nice to see the higher close. We'd use caution here. One other thing we might want to touch on the livestock side, the USDA indicate a slowdown in pork exports. That gave the bullish enthusiasm to the pork side equation this summer, and that's starting to slow down. And lastly, Todd, we got mainly focused on agriculture in your program, but there's quite a few people outside of agriculture listening to the program that look at the stock market, and they're starting to use farm strategies to hedge their portfolio, which is kind of neat.
All right, so they should give you a call in that case.
800-779-1515.
Congratulations. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report, usually on Monday, filling in for Dan Zwicker, who's away this afternoon. Dave Dickey's here now to take a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a new federal review says that the U.S. meat inspection system has flaws that may create food safety risks. Although the problem that forced a California packer to conduct the largest meat recall ever are not widespread. The report says that inspectors are overworked and spend too little time at too many plants. And the report goes on to say that the Food Safety Inspection Service cannot demonstrate that its controls are sufficient to detect if companies fail to comply with the removal, segregation, and disposition of so-called specified risk material. The potentially infected tissue is believed to be a main way to spread mad cow disease. Two dozen farm groups today say USDA should stop dawdling and announce the terms for the U.S. Farm Program in 2009 so growers can plan their crops. Two major regulations have been under White House review since mid-November. The regulations would revise farm subsidy rules and set the benchmark for a new revenue guarantee program. The groups noted growers cannot receive a portion of the $5.2 billion guaranteed in annual direct payments because the farm program has not been announced. By law, growers can request an advance payment of 22% of their direct payment. Company officials say Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan will reduce 2009 potash output by 2 million tons, or about 20%, due to slackening market demand. The company produced 9.4 million tons of potash in 2007 and has the capacity to produce 10 million tons. A company statement says, beyond the quarter, we see demand accelerating through the balance of the year as farmers deplete existing stocks and work to rebuild global grain inventories from extremely low levels. Oklahoma Representative Frank Lucas was elected the Republican leader of the House Agriculture Committee yesterday. Lucas's Oklahoma district includes large areas of wheat, cotton, corn, and cattle production, as well as a large amount of land in the Conservation Reserve Program. In an interview late Wednesday, Lucas said his initial priorities on the committee would be the controversies surrounding the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the implementation of the 2008 Farm Bill, and adjusting to the new political appointees at the Agriculture Department when President-elect Barack Obama takes office. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming here at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can find both of them on our website at willag.org. And you can hear the daily analysis if you missed the website or the radio programs right there on your telephone. Just dial this number, 217-333-3434. It's our mobile analyst portal, 217-333-3434, updated at 10:30 and 3:15 daily. Up next, we'll talk with Jim Bauer, Bauer Trading, out of Lafayette, Indiana. We started with an open-ended question. What did he see in the marketplace?
Todd, I think one of the issues that you and I talked about several weeks ago while we were out at the National Association of Farm Broadcasters in Kansas City is highlighted right in this time frame right now, where I think the end users of components for next year's crop have got to start making some decisions. At the time that we did our interviews here about 6 weeks ago, we thought it was probably a good idea to kind of hold back on buying some of these inputs
And as we have seen over the past month and a half, we've seen a relatively large-scale decline, particularly in prices of urea, gasoline. And gasoline this morning in Fort Wayne, Indiana, was as low as $1.27. Almost unbelievable price drop. Diesel has come down, not quite as much, and there's still a little bit more room to the downside there, I believe, yet. And, of course, there even is starting to be some situations where even the seed companies have started to reduce down their price at least a little bit, not a lot, but there does seem to be more negotiation power by the producer with that seed supplier. And then finally, we've got the fertilizer and anhydrous sectors. They have not come down as much as we would like, although they are starting to make a slow drift that way. There is still some concern, in my opinion, about some of these fertilizer and chemical companies that got a panic-type idea in their head and bought the high on their source of supply, and now they're trying to pass that on to the consumer. And normally that situation does not work, and I'm somewhat concerned about some of the fertilizer and anhydrous suppliers being in some degree of financial difficulty. So my advice there is to bargain with them, to negotiate with them, but I would be somewhat hesitant about making large-scale prepayment payments to those suppliers unless the product is on hand. I think there could be some financial trouble there. So my point of this morning's conversation is we did give the right advice here about 6 to 7 weeks ago to hold back on input costs and purchases. But now that we've got the decline that we were expecting and had anticipated in our market letter, is now from this point on down is the time to start making some coverage.
Well, when you cover that, what are your best guesses about how much of their coming year's needs they should be doing?
Well, with gasoline at this price or lower, I think they can really come up to 100%. Diesel fuel, again, I think that's still a little bit elevated, but some of the people are actually looking to make some type of protectional type trade by purchasing heating oil. It's not a one-to-one conversion, but some of the larger scale producers have actually looked at that. And then especially if they didn't have the necessary storage necessary. But I think diesel at this price or on down, you could kind of scale in maybe 10 to 20% at a time and try to do it on a scale in level. Seed corn, I'm not really sure you're going to get that much price drop on the actual price per bag, but I do think the seed corn companies are becoming much more tolerant of giving them some package deals, buy five bags, get one free, or something of that order, depending upon the size of customer you are. But I do think there's beginning to see quite a higher level of competition amongst the seed producers, and I think they recognize that with the price of where you're at now on next year's price, that you've got to be a little bit more negotiating with them than they were when corn was up there at its high back in July.
So that takes care of seed corn, fuel needs, any other inputs?
Well, urea.
Right.
And of course, urea has really dropped, and in some cases as much as 60 to 65% from where it was just a short time ago. So I think the urea now, especially if they can get it, delivered and you don't have to worry about the delivery process, I don't see any reason why you couldn't go up to 100% on that. The point I'm trying to make, Todd, here in kind of a general statement is I think most of the recessionary fear that has been built into these prices, I think that's already built in. Now, whether we have to go a little bit lower to stimulate some further demand to offset some increased production, and whether, we're going to see kind of a long, drawn-out recovery period. Now, that may take place in that tubular market, which you and I have talked about in the past. But I just think the bulk of the commodity price liquidation has already been built into the price. You have to keep in mind, Todd, that the CRB, or the commodity index, has had a huge sell-off. It's lost almost half its value just in the last 3 or 4 months. So that is a spectacular drop. My point is, now from an input cost standpoint, I think things are much more reasonable. They're much more in line with what I think they should be based upon the price of the product that they're trying to produce. And now is the time to negotiate one-on-one with your supplier.
At this point, it appears you're saying a common theme across all of these inputs is that cash is king, pay cash up front if you can, and then on-farm storage is also king. So take delivery of everything that you can and put it on your own farm as a hedge against, well, other types of bad things could happen financially to a company that would be servicing you.
That's correct. I think there is some problems lurking out there. There was a lot of the, well, not a lot, there were some of the suppliers somewhat got caught up into the psychology of that boom in price we saw back in July and August, and we saw the price of crude go way over any degree of fundamental value, and they panicked, locked in their supply through a very, very hard cost. And then, of course, now they're holding it, and now that the price of the grains have dropped substantially from where they were at that particular time, the end user or buyer from that supplier is saying, look, you know, we can't make this work. We have to step away from this. So the market will do its job. It will correct over value. It will correct over trade, and it will correct any threat of corruption or price manipulation. The market always does that in the final analysis.
You lock in the input prices, or you're doing anything with the produced product, the corn, the soybean, or the wheat?
Well, fortunately, at Bauer Trading, we made all our cash sales before the middle of July in corn and beans, so we were pretty much out of the pricing mechanism for the 08 crop. We anything that we've moved, and they wanted to replace with a call with limited risk, we can do that for them. But we're actually starting to prepare now for the 09 crop. But I do want to highlight that our scout in Brazil does feel very strongly that the 21.3 million acres is probably about, or hectares, is probably about right for acreage. But for sure, up in the Mato Grosso and the northern plains there of Brazil, it does look very concrete that they did dramatically reduce their application of fertilizers by as much as 35% in the state of Mato Grosso alone. The Brazilians got hit right at the worst time with this credit crunch, and the stock. Of course, the Brazilian stock markets had a huge sell-off, and the credit dried up. And if you talk to people that are coming back from Brazil right now, they all paint a picture that, you know, there's a lot of producers there that just have really had to cut back and have had a somewhat difficult time getting the finance, although it does look like most of them finally got it, but it wasn't a pleasant experience for them. And now that the price has dropped, if we get into an Asian rust situation, the fungicide application, that's going to be a question mark for them too. So we feel that we're pretty close to this 60 million metric ton crop for the Brazilians as of today, but I make note that several of the major key analysts in Brazil have already dropped the crop below 60 million metric tons before we even got it planted. So we have alerted our clients here at Bauer Trading. We've alerted our people in Brazil, and we have alerted our weatherman that we really need to pay extraordinarily close attention to weather developments and crop conditions in Brazil, because it does appear to us that the crop could be well below 60 million metric tons if Mother Nature turns her ugly side to us late December and the month of January, which is critical for their yield potential.
Jim, we appreciate you taking the time and calling us to talk a little bit about the marketplace.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate the opportunity.
Jim Bauer is with Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana, joining us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. We'll be back in just 2 minutes to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Noodle Ring Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1874, James Lewis Kraft was born. A Canadian-born inventor, he discovered a pasteurizing process for cheese. And in 1903, he founded the Kraft Company in Chicago. In 1916, Kraft patented a processed cheese formula based on milk solids that would not spoil. He called it American cheese. The general public found it bland, but Kraft remained undaunted. He took the formula to the U.S. Army and sold them 6 million pounds of the product. In 1941, Frank Conrad died. He is generally regarded as creator of radio shows. One day, while transmitting from his garage amateur station, he substituted a record player for his microphone. And soon he heard from large numbers of listeners tuning in with crystal sets clamoring for more music and news. When swamped with requests, he decided to air regularly scheduled programs, and he coined the term broadcast. In 1952, William Dampier died, a British scientist, agriculturalist, and science historian. He developed a method of extracting milk sugar from surplus whey. The process was put to use on a commercial scale during the cheese shortage of World War I. He was also knighted in 1931 for his public service in agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. Generally, we talk with Pete Levitt. He's not available this afternoon. We do have our own weather forecast from Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser for the two-state region. He says tonight across Illinois and parts of Indiana, weather will be like this. In northern and central Illinois and northern and west central Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, some light snow showers this evening, flurries are arriving overnight. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, says Ed. Lows will range from 10 in northwestern Illinois to 28 in the far south. Tomorrow, Kieser says, northwestern Illinois to partly to mostly sunny. Elsewhere in Illinois and western Indiana, cloudy, scattered light snow showers, a few flurries early, then becoming partly to mostly sunny. In eastern Indiana, cloudy, scattered snow showers. Highs will range from 18 in far northern Illinois to 38 in the far south. Here's the extended forecast. Strong southerly winds should kick in on Saturday across the two-state region. That'll continue through Sunday and usher in warmer air, says Ed. Scattered rain showers are likely on Sunday. A cold front will pass through on Sunday night, so temps will drop going into next week. And it appears that a southwesterly flow aloft will set up for next week as well. And that'll put Illinois and Indiana in line for frequent precipitation. Since we'll be near the boundary between the cold air to the north and the warm air to the south, Ed says a variety of precip types should be possible. Some winter storms will be possible next week, but that's yet to be defined by those models that he watches. So there's Ed Kieser's weather forecast for the two-state region. We're sorry that Pete Levitt's not available for us today, but he couldn't manage to get to the phone this afternoon. And our best wishes go out to Pete Levitt. He's just perfectly fine, but had an emergency there in the family, so wasn't able to make it with us this afternoon. We'll talk with Pete again, he promises, next Thursday afternoon, right here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
A couple of notes as we head into the end of the program next week. I'll be on the road on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday out with the Illinois Ag Econ Summits. They'll start off in Mount Vernon on Tuesday of next week, and then we'll make our way across the state. There is room, I think, still for walk-ins at $65. You can find out all about that on the website at farmdoc.uiuc.edu. The Agriconomist from right here on campus will be out and about. I'll emcee those programs. Day-long events that kick off, I think, around 8:30 in the morning next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Dave Dickey will be in this seat. Don't forget, you can always visit our website right here at willag.org to listen to any of the agricultural programming that you hear. And that's available not long after we air it on the radio station. So visit willag.org. And one other note, if you can't get to a radio to hear the program, or you can't get to the web to hear the program, you can always just dial it up on your telephone number. The number is 217-333-3333. 34.34. We update the futures markets at about 10:30 and 3:15 daily. Thanks for listening. I'm Todd Gleason.